how they apply and how they fit into your life. This morning I want to look at some of the different ways that we use the words. And I'd like to just make a disclaimer right up front, and that is, don't make a law out of what I'm saying between these two words. If you'll search in Scripture versus NIV, King James, and others, you will see those words used back and forth. And it's always kind of hard to know, well, what about respect? What does that mean? And somebody that's worthy of respect or not worthy of respect. But this morning, I want to make a separation between those two words. And if you will, just hear me out as I share this morning, to try to make a distinction as to how we look at people, how we look at those around us, how I should treat you, how I should treat those that I come in contact with on Monday morning, those that I'm obligated to by law to obey, those fill in the blank. So honor and respect is those two words. I want to try to help us look and see, maybe can we separate and pick up a distinction for each word. In the dictionary, it would allude to the word honor, meaning to value or to esteem. You could say someone or something. This morning we're talking about to value or esteem someone for his or her worth. Okay? And that's where I want to go with the honor. Someone had made a few quotes, and I just want to read them. And again, hear me out as we go through this morning. One of the quotes that this gentleman made was that respect is earned, honor is owed. Respect is earned, honor is owed. Another one, respect is based on how a person performs. Honor is based on a person's position. Another one, whether or not I respect a person says something about their life, values, and character. Whether or not I honor a person says something about my life, my values, and my character. Let me read that one again. Whether or not I respect a person says something about their life, their values, and their character. Whether or not I honor a person says something about my life, my values, and my character. And what kind of brought me to this, and in a later message I want to allude to, go into this too, and Wesley alluded to it this morning, what he shared about his dad and taking care of his dad and recognizing that obligation, that responsibility, even that privilege as it were. And how can we do that to honor our parents? And I'm not going to get into that this morning, but I do want to speak into that in the next, maybe the first part of December in a message. But this morning, where I want to go to is the idea of honoring those who are authorities over us. And in this morning, what I'm actually wanting to talk about is honoring those in civil government. Those who are out there who are our president, who are our governors, who are our congressmen, who are our senators, who are our local leaders, who are our law enforcement officers, and so on and so on and so on. How do you respond to those people? Do they deserve your respect? Maybe or maybe not. Do they deserve your honor? And what I'm talking about this morning, yes, they do deserve your honor. Period. No matter what. They deserve your honor because the honor is based on the value of another person. Meaning, every person on the face of this earth has a high value, period. Has nothing to do with who they are or what they do or what their last name is. But God has esteemed that person, everyone on this earth, to have value. To have a very high value, because Jesus Christ died for every one of those persons. no matter whether they deserve to have our respect or not, they do deserve to have our honor. And I had to think, again, forgive me for alluding to my grandchildren. If I would be a person, and I hope you don't think I am, but if I would be a person who would have a very low moral platform, if I would be a person who would be very lax in everything to do with godliness, even take away godliness, leave that out of the picture, but even just moral living, everything to do with being just a good person, as we would look at someone and say, wow, he sure is a good person. If I would not be that good person, but I would esteem my grandchildren, and I would take care, and I would be there for my grandchildren, those little ones are not going to take and withhold their love from me because of my awful moral character. Those grandchildren are still going to come running to me, and they're going to have this big look on their face, and they're going to come up and they're going to wrap that little hand around my neck, and they're going to jerk it in and then look at me again and pull it in again, saying, I love you unconditionally because I have a relationship with you. It has nothing to do, it has not, that grandchild loving on me, understand, has nothing to do with him saying, Grandpa, the way you're living your life as an ungodly person and as an immoral person, I accept it and I think you're fine just because you live like that. It has nothing to do with that. My grandchild is not judging me on that premise. Do you understand? My grandchild is simply coming to me and saying, I honor you for who you are. You have value to me. You have great value to me because you are my grandfather. Can we get a glimpse of that this morning? And I think so often, brothers and sisters, somehow in our godliness, as we'd like to call it, we come against people. We hold people at an arm's length because I daresn't allow them to think that I'm justifying them in their sin. But therefore, they feel a wall up that's between me and them. Rather than the fact that I would come to them and I would honor them because of who they are, because that they are God's creation. How many of you were here when we did the Gary Smalley videos? Let me just see your hands. A fair number of you, probably about half or so. But one thing that stood out to me, what Gary Smalley said. Actually, not so much what he said, but an expression that he had, which was based on value of another person. And Gary Smalley does a lot of marriage conferences and so on. That's a lot of what he does is marriage relationships. But he talked about esteeming value in people. And you know, it doesn't take real long for you to come into a strange, quote, church when you're in a strange city. It doesn't take real long when you step inside to have a feeling of being accepted, of being loved, or feeling like, boy, I'm in the wrong place here. These people, not only did they not expect me, that they would rather I wouldn't be here. How do we respond when that person comes in into our presence? How do we honor those people? But going back to Gary Smalley, the one thing that made a huge impact on me was the fact of what he said about how we esteem and how we look at people, how we respond to people when they come into our presence. And what he did was took us to the point of when someone, and in this case, I think it was like your spouse. But that when they would come into your presence, you would be like, everyone knows what that means. It's nothing sensual, sexual, but it's simply esteeming that person. That person instantly knows that they have value in your being in your presence, and that for some reason, and maybe I don't even know why, but you want me to be in your presence, and you're glad to see me there, and you are really glad that I showed up. When have you done that the last time to your spouse? When have you done that the last time to anyone else that you meet? And I'm not saying so much that you walk out on the street and, but that you do that by the way you respond in allowing your love to flow out to that person, in the way that your facial expression flows out to that person. People can tell real quick. A verse that came to my mind is found in Matthew 18, verse 3. It says, and this is Jesus talking, I tell you the truth, unless you change, and King James would say, unless you become converted and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. I refer back to my grandchildren. We need to look at our little ones, brothers and sisters. Why do we tell them to grow up? I don't know. Because Jesus keeps talking about these little ones have a lot to teach us. But except that we become as little children and accept other people for who they are, as having value, as having huge worth. Let's turn, and I think they have it on the board here, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 17. I want to read this morning. And we'll read that, and then I'm not going to make comments on that as such, but as we go through the message here, I will refer back to that passage, if I may. But this morning, what we want to look at is three different points here. And the one is the commission that we have. And the second one is we want to look at the course that we will take. And the third one is the conclusion or the result. The commission, the course, the conclusion. In other words, brothers and sisters, I think we need to have purpose for what we do. We need to understand why we live our lives. We need to understand why we go to work on Monday morning. We need to understand why we come to church on Wednesday night. We need to understand why we come to church on Sunday morning. We need to understand and have purpose in everything that we do, whether it's work, whether it's play, whatever. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 would say, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify the God on the day that He visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority. For every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honor the king. Verse 17 would say, show proper respect to everyone. King James would use the word honor instead of respect. So what you see is the two words are used quite a lot interchangeably. But I do want to just, for making a point this morning, again, I want to make a separation of those words and understand what those what we could take out from those words. So first of all, we want to look at the commission, or another word for commission would be the mandate. What God has for you as His people. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength. Doesn't leave much room for anything else, does it? That's why I say, whatever you do on Monday morning, whatever you do on Wednesday, whatever you do on Saturday, and whatever you do on the next Sunday, you need to do it all for the honor and glory of God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. Then the next one we want to look at is that we are to honor all men, as it says in verse 17, says to show proper respect to all people. What does the word all mean? I believe it means everyone. Then dropping on down, and we want to look at 1 Timothy 3. There's several verses there that I want to look at, if I may, this morning also. 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy 3 says, deacons likewise are to be men worthy of respect. Notice that? Worthy of respect. Sincere, not indulging in much wine and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect. Not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. And it's talking specifically about the deacons this morning in that one. But I think we could take and relate that right on to each one of us as God's people. That needs to be you. That needs to be me if I'm going to name the name of Christ. So we could say that we respect those who earn our respect according to that verse. It says that they are to be men, they are to be women who are worthy of our respect. Some earn respect because of their conduct. Others we respect or honor because of their position. 1 Timothy 6:1 says, all those who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters are not to show less respect for them because they are brothers. Instead, they are to serve them even better, because those who benefit from their service are believers and they are dear to them. These are the things that you are to teach and to urge on them. So there in 1 Timothy, he's talking about that those who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters. And as we think about slavery, it's not a good thing. We think of the slave master as being a cruel tyrant. And I think many times they were. But it's also been told that there's many masters that were very kind to their slaves, to the point that even when the slaves were able to have their freedom, they said, we don't want to go. We will become an indentured slave. We will have our ear pierced, showing that we are voluntarily serving you as our master. But it said, your master, even if you're a slave, you are to treat your master with full respect or with full honor. And then he goes on to say, and I don't know why, except the fact that maybe we need this. Those who have believing masters are not to show less respect for them because they are brothers. It says, instead, they are to serve them even better. And I think that simply would have to do with because of the fact that you are a believer. Of course you should treat your boss, your whoever, as someone who is worthy of respect, even if he's a cruel boss or a hard boss. But that you honor him in whatever ways you can. Seek out ways to serve them. It says you should serve them even better, because those who benefit from their service are believers. Well, let's go on to from the first part of the commission, our mandate, to the method or the course, that how are we going to accomplish some of these things. And the first one I have down here is, not my will, but thine. In other words, we need, in order for us to please God in the way that we live our lives, we are going to need a full surrender to Jesus Christ. And in that word surrender is where our problem lies. In that word surrender is where we're facing some serious issues. How many times have you seen somebody surrender with their arms folded and with still hanging on and still surrendered is in a very vulnerable position. Either your hands up or flat on the ground, face down with your hands out and your legs spread out. Totally defenseless. That person or that army, whatever it might be, they can come up to you and know that there is no danger in dealing with you because you are surrendered. As believers, we are told to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we've heard it been said that either Jesus is Lord of all or He is not Lord at all. So many times we want just enough of Jesus just to get us into heaven. And I don't believe our Lord is pleased with that or even satisfied with that. But He wants us to be fully surrendered. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him if you look for Him with all your heart and all your soul." Doesn't leave a whole lot of room for being slack, does it? How are you doing this morning in your seeking God? How are you doing in looking and finding where God is? How does it feel this morning to you, your relationship with God? Does it feel that God is sort of not there? God didn't move. But He wants you to seek Him with your whole heart, with your whole mind, with your whole strength. The second thing we want to look at in our course that we're traveling is we need to recognize, brothers and sisters, that we are strangers and pilgrims. We are foreigners in this world. And we sit here and like, oh yeah, that's right, that's what the Bible says. Yep, we're strangers and foreigners. But how many can really say that we've thought about it this past week, that I'm a foreigner, I'm a stranger, I'm a pilgrim in this world? We have no rights. Well, how does that work out when the highway patrolman stops me? And even I think that I've been misjudged, or that he doesn't understand, or that his radar was off, or that he really didn't see what he thought he saw. How's my response? It's bad enough, isn't it, when we're in the wrong, for us to honor, for us to respect that man in authority. But when we really feel and when we really believe that we were right in what we were doing, and we're still being accused of this violation, it doesn't feel good. But brothers and sisters, we are strangers and we are pilgrims. As far as I know, strangers and pilgrims have no rights in the country that they're in. They're just glad to be there. They're just glad to be able to get up the next morning and to have life, whatever it is. But I'm afraid that we've become rich and we've become famous. And we like that. That feels good. It feels good to be known by others. Like, oh yeah, I know you. Oh yeah, yeah. But the Bible says we're strangers. We're pilgrims. But if we recognize that, brothers and sisters, that we are strangers and that we're pilgrims, it is also going to change the way that I live my life. It's going to change my conduct in what I do in my day-to-day activities. I just read recently of a church, and I'm not sure where it was. It was not in South Klein, I don't think. But they had this passion of coming against wrongdoing. That they had numbers of their church members to take and picket at a local strip club with signs and whatever and whatever and whatever. Seems like a godly thing to do, as we would say. But as this went on, the owners and managers of the strip club took matters also into their hands and the rights that they had as being within the limits of the law. They awaited a Sunday morning service, and they brought their ladies out there in their skimpy clothing, also with picket signs. Do we have a right, brothers and sisters, to come against someone else in some of those ways that it really has nothing to do with us in that sense that we are strangers, we are foreigners, and we are pilgrims in this world? What is our responsibility? And I'm not saying that we should just sit back and just allow sin to run rampant in our own lives. But we need to be salt and we need to be light. And I think, brothers and sisters, we need to be vocal. But I think sometimes the things we do, we don't do it out of the love of Jesus Christ coming through and out of a burden for the salvation of those souls. But we do it because we're ticked off. It's not going to work. You'd be better off going home and going to bed and sleeping. At least you'd be rested in the morning. And as I remember, if we are salt and light, and by no means, brothers and sisters, take this further than what I'm wanting you to take it, but as I recall, salt and light doesn't make noise. But you do know the presence of both of those things. You do know the presence of salt. You do know the presence of light. Because when we come against some of these things, in our own fleshly ways, and it is, we create other problems even for the authorities to figure out how to deal with us and to keep us within our bounds of the law. Are you a stranger in this world? Are you a pilgrim in this world? Another thing, as we go through our course, through our methodology of living out, we need to follow and to seek and to search ways to glorify God in my life as an individual. We also need to look for ways to honor others. And believe me, that can be hard sometimes. That can be difficult sometimes to figure out a way that you can honor a certain person, because as you look at them, it's like, there's nothing there that I can honor because they're so despicable, they're so ungodly, they're so whatever. But God made them a soul that has eternal value. They have something or some things about them that deserve honor. It's up to you to find out what it is and how you can honor that person. Too many times, instead of me being active and looking out and trying to figure out ways that I can honor others, I'm too busy trying to figure out ways that I can bring attention to myself and make you look at me and say, hoo-hoo. Because we like it. We like to be recognized. We don't like to be foreigners. We don't like to be strangers. But we like when someone comes up to us and they know our name. Day before yesterday, when I was at the funeral, a man came up to me and I shook his hand and I was like, Dave. And he was like, you remembered my name. It meant something to him. And we can all be encouraged to try to do that more, to think of things that we could do, something as simple as me mentioning his name, because he loved to hear the sound of his own name. We all do. Our name means something to us. But just that simple act of stating his name was one way that I could honor him. And I even went on to mention his wife's name. She was there. And that really was another way to honor them, which was kind of easy because his wife's name was the same as my wife's name. And I had remembered that from the past. Look for ways that you can honor those around you. Be active in it. Rather than seeking out for yourself and seeking how others could serve you, look out and see how you could honor someone else. Be vocal in speaking out. Too many times, and I think us as men probably need to hear this a lot more than the women, and that is, too many times we're ashamed or we're too timid to say something good about another person, another man. Because what in the world would they think? I mean, real men don't give compliments, is as we think. And you as ladies are a lot better at that. You as ladies have a lot to teach us in those areas. But be vocal. Take a chance and praise someone. Don't be flattering, but give good, true, honest praise. And again, even that servant of the law of the land, it's okay to praise them. Find something, even if you're in the middle of getting a traffic ticket. Without being facetious, even go to him after he gives you the ticket and thank him for it if you know you were in the wrong, because you know you deserved it. I'll guarantee you, you will be doing something that they don't hear much of. Or even when you're not in the heat of that battle, stop in and talk to them and just note your appreciation for what they're doing in protecting you as a person. They don't hear that much. And you know how you like when someone comes to you. Treat others the same way. That is a way that you can honor. To not respect someone does not give us the right to be rude. There are people who, by the actions that they have at a certain time, you have to turn away, and it's like, I have just lost all my respect for that person. How many of you have ever said that? I have. Whether it's a true statement, it could be in what we're talking about this morning, but I hope you didn't lose all your honor for that person, because that person still has value and still has worth. So it's okay to, in this sense, to not respect someone because of maybe their values. But it's never okay to not honor, to come against that person in a way that would be displeasing to God. Then what is our conclusion? First, we need to seek God's kingdom. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." What are all these things? Well, you close your eyes and imagine what all these things are. Those that seek God with their whole heart, He will give you the desires of your heart. And you think, wow, that would be cool. He will, because my Bible says He will. But I'll guarantee you, when you seek God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength, some of your desires are also going to change. Being able to have $1 million in the bank is probably not going to be such a big deal anymore. That desire to have things is not going to be such a big deal anymore. God will change your desires. But in doing that, He will also bring your level of joy, bring your level of fulfillment way up to where you look back and it's like, I can hardly contain anymore because I feel so overwhelmingly blessed. First Peter 2:12 again says, "To live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that He visits you." When you live your life as a stranger and as a pilgrim on this earth, even though you don't participate in some of these things that the people around you think that you should and that you're being a lowlifer because you don't, when they come against you and they see that your life is spotless, in the fact that you live out on Monday what you said you do on Sunday. You live out on Wednesday what you said that you live out on Sunday. They can come against you and they can say this and this about you, but it turns around and it slaps them in the face because it's a blatant lie. It is not true. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, They have to look at what you're doing and say, it's God. It's got to be God. And isn't that what we want, is to bring glory and honor and praise and adoration back to the King of Kings, back to the Lord of Lords, and take it off of ourselves. But if I can be a vessel that God uses to work through me, to go through Him, so be it. That's what He wants. Because I'll guarantee you, when that is flowing through you like that, even though you're not getting the praise and you're not getting the honor and you're not getting the glory, you're getting some huge results out of it. And if it get any better than that, you wouldn't be able to stand it. That's what your Lord, that's what your Master, that's what the Maker of the Master of the universe and the Maker of the creation of all the world, that's what He wants. He wants you to have this full life. And we want to look at 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 17 in closing. 1 Peter 3, verse 8 tells us, "Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another, be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." So he's saying in my closing remarks here, live in harmony, be sympathetic, love, be compassionate, and humble. Doesn't sound like someone who's demanding any rights, does it? Sometimes, brothers and sisters, to live in harmony, I've got to give up what I really wanted, even if I'm right. How many times have you done that? And if you have done that, hasn't it been a blessing and even come back to you later? That even though you deserve this and you didn't get it, but you give it up, God will see and God does know, and He will bless you either in this life or He will bless you in the next life to come. But we're not to repay evil with evil, but with blessing. Well, I always thought that we shouldn't bless someone who we knowingly know that is not pleasing and honoring God. But here it says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with... That doesn't sound like someone who is a believer, does it? But it says, but with blessing we are to repay someone. We are to bless those who curse us. And you know, for us to bless someone, and that can be vocally, or that can even be in the way that we respond back to them, maybe in something that we even give them. And maybe they don't even know that we're giving it to them. But to somehow that we respond back with blessing instead of responding back with insult, adding insult to the injury. But when God blesses, sometimes, and we've all experienced that, we look later and we recognize God having blessed us, but at the point in time when we received the blessing, it did not feel like a blessing. But we look on later and we see that it was because of God's blessing back then that we actually thought might have been a curse, that we are where we are today. And God's way of blessing someone who curses you could be in a way that maybe they don't think about, it in a way that they don't really want. But we allow God to bless that person in whatever way He wants to, in whatever way He needs to, in order to draw that person to Him. And we're releasing that person. We're not holding that person in account, because we know that we serve the God who has it all in His control. That's honoring. That's honoring someone else. And it's not giving them the right to continue on to do evil, but it's simply releasing them and saying, I still honor you as a person. I still bless you as one of God's creation. For who would love life and see good days? He must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. Why don't we catch on to this? Every one of us wants to love life. Every one of us, I think King James would say, to see long days. Every one of us wants that. I mean, we want that so bad. That's why we go to work on Monday morning. But we don't get it. It's so simple. It just says, we must keep our tongue from evil and our lips from deceitful speech. It's right here. If we can control this little thing, life would be a lot easier for us. Right here it tells us. Then it says that we must turn from evil and do good. We must seek peace and pursue it. Again, we need to take a conscious effort in our life to go after God. We need to turn, because our natural bend is to go towards evil. We have to stop, and we make a decision to turn, to go towards God. We must turn from evil, and then not just turn from evil, but then also do good, it says. And then we must seek peace. We must pursue it. Go after it. Search for it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. No matter what happens in this life, no matter how bad this life gets, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, it really doesn't matter. The worst thing that could happen is that you would die. And then it would be better. So the very worst thing that could happen is actually the very best thing that you'll ever experience as a believer. But in your hearts, verse 15 says, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, or gentleness and honor. Because I'll guarantee you that when you live out this life, I'll guarantee you when you live out this, what we were talking about, people are going to come up to you and they're going to say, what is it about you? I've been watching you. You're not like other people. Set apart Christ as Lord. Verse 16 says, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It doesn't say that you have to rebuke these people and you have to tell them why the things that they were saying about you are so wrong, and why they're so wrong in what they said, and why what they said hurts you so bad, and why what they said cuts you so deep, and why what they said is messing with your wife and children and it's even hurting them, and it's... says keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. What is more humiliating to someone when they come against you with words and lash out against you and you don't respond back the same way? It's humiliating. Because when I lash out against someone in anger, if you respond back the same way, that justifies my actions, that you deserved what I gave you. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. In this life, brothers and sisters, when we honor those that even we think do not deserve honor, but we honor them, we figure out ways to honor them, even when we're wronged, we will have a fulfilled life. I'll guarantee you. But not only that, we can also look forward to the life in the hereafter. Honor and respect. Jesus said, except you become as little children, you will have no part of me. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the truth in your word, these nuggets that we can pull out and we can hang on to and that we can grasp. God, I pray that you would move in the hearts of each one that was here this morning. God, I pray that you would help us to seek you with our whole heart. God, would you help us as we go from here, as we face another week, that it would be on our mind when we get up in the morning, what is it this day that I can do to serve you? What is it this day that I can do to bring greater honor to your name than I did yesterday? Thank you again, Lord, for being with us. We thank you for each one that was here this morning. Would you bless them? Would you keep them in your care this week? makes effective servants for you. For it's in the name of Jesus we do pray. Amen.